Blog Talk Radio.
Kingdom greetings and welcome to Tamayo Deliverance Ministries Prophetic Call. I am Seer Pastor Siobhan Simmons, and today we will discuss visions. The Lord speaks to his people through many avenues, and one avenue is through visions. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for another opportunity to allow us to read, study, and meditate on your word. We ask that you would give us spiritual eyes to see clearly, ears that will be able to hear, and a heart to receive your understanding, your knowledge, and your revelation on today. In Jesus' name, amen. In past teachings, we've discussed the various avenues, methods, and ways in which God speaks to us. We talked about how he can speak to our spirit. He will speak to our heart. He'll use other people to speak to us. He also uses his word in order to speak to his people. Oftentimes, he will speak to us through us. Visions are closely related to dreams. Dreams occur when a person is sleeping, but visions can occur when a person is fully awake or if they are conscious. Visions are in a similar way is similar to trances. You can be in a trance-like state, meaning that you're fully awake, but the Holy Spirit has taken over your being, that you're just there. Amen. If we look at Numbers, the 12th chapter, the 6th verse, it says, "If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision." In that chapter, Moses was being challenged by Aaron and Miriam. And so Aaron and Miriam to realize that God is my chosen. He is my prophet, and I speak to him through visions as well as through dreams. But today we're talking about visions. And God gives us visions for several reasons, but I'm only going to discuss three of the reasons today. The first one is instructions. If we go to the book of Exodus, the 3rd chapter, starting at verse number 1, we see verses 1 through 12. We see that God is revealing himself to Moses. Moses, and you're quite well, you're aware of the story. Moses was being commissioned by God to take his people from Egypt into the promised land. And so God appeared to Moses as a burning bush, a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. And according to verse 2, and I'm paraphrasing, it said it looked as if the bush was being burned by the fire, but the bush was not consumed. So God allowed Moses to see in a vision who he was, and to give him instructions. He said, "I want you to go into Egypt, and I want you to take my people out of Egypt into the promised land." And so then Moses says, "Well, Lord, who do I say that is having me to take them out?" And the Lord says in verse 14, it says, "Moses, you tell them that I am that I am is the one is sending you." So God gives Moses instruction, and I should have said more than verse 1 through 12, because if we go to the whole chapter of Exodus 3, he gives them the instructions. He says, "You're going to do this, but expect this to happen." So when God sometimes appears to us in a vision, sometimes it's just to give us instructions as to what to do. Secondly, he gives us visions to build our faith and to offer hope. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Oftentimes, we will stand on the word of God. And we know God has said a thing, but trials and tribulations will come. Temptations will come. The enemy will come and put doubt in your mind. And then you start second guessing. You start wondering, well, God, I know this is you. Now, did I miss you? Did I miss my season? Did I misunderstand what you were saying? Did I misinterpret what you were showing me or what you said to me? And God will send a vision to us to give us that hope that, yep, you're right on task. I have not forsaken you. It is just the enemy that's playing mind tricks with you. Don't you know that the enemy battles us with our mind? We can know a thing, but still the enemy will come and say, well, I really don't think this is what it's supposed to be, and then we start doubting. But God will give us a vision just to give us that hope so that we will know that even though the vision tarries, it's still going to come to pass. Even though it may not happen in our timing, we know that it is going to happen in God's timing. Amen. God also gives us visions as a means of prophecy. Now, prophecy can be good and it can be bad, and it's only bad depending on how you look at it. If we go to the book of Amos, the 7th chapter, the 7th through the 9th verse. And as you're looking for Amos, which is in the Old Testament, we don't hear a whole lot of teaching from the book. Very powerful book, full of nuggets. Also get in position to look for Matthew, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 8. But right now, we're going to Amos. Chapter 7, verse 7 through 9. And we see in the book of Amos, I'm almost there myself, praise the Lord. God has given him a vision of what is to come. We have rebellion going on. We have a whole lot of things going on. And it said, and thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate. And the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. So he's telling them, he's telling the prophet what is to come. And you know, as prophets, we are the mouthpiece of God. And so we have to say whatever God shows us. We have to say whatever God is saying to us, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Some people think that prophets are only supposed to bring good news. They're only supposed to tell and the latest fashion, quote unquote, is about cars and houses and husbands and wives and riches on this side. But don't you know when God sends a word, it may seem like a hard word, a word of correction, but God loves us so much that he will give us that opportunity to truly repent, not just with our lips, but with our heart. true repentance, humbling ourselves before the Lord. God also gives prophecy, in the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter. He's allowing the disciples, the two chosen, the two that's really close to his heart, he's allowing them to see who he is. You know, you could be with a person and still not know who that person is. But I bless God for opening our spiritual eyes so that we can see what God sees. The scripture says that man judges the outside, but God judges the heart. And so we need to look at things not so much in the natural, but in the spirit to see what the spirit is saying. So we're in Matthew, the 17th chapter, starting on verse 1. And Jesus takes Peter and James and John into the mountain so that he can, through the Holy Spirit, reveal himself. And so what he does is that he shows them, he transforms in their in front of them. And so they're a little perplexed. And again, this is a vision because they're not asleep. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter, and said it unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be there, to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now see, Peter was still in that carnal state. He had not realized that he was seeing a vision. God was showing him in the vision who Jesus was. While he yet spake, Matthew 17, the 5th chapter. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus alone. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So God allowed them to see a vision of who Jesus is and told them, I don't want you to tell anyone. Another reason God will give us a vision is so that we can see his glory. His glory can be manifested. How awesome it is when God will show us things. He loves us so much that he will just show us hidden treasures in him. And you can find the manifestation of the glory of God in Exodus 24. Verses 10 and 17. He also gives us visions for revelation. The thing about vision is that they all come from God. And if you're connected to God, he will show you great and mighty things. But understand, only God can give us visions. And if we want to see the great and mighty things, there are several things that we must do. We must first yield our flesh, which is our desires and our lusts. We must get rid of our emotions, which is found in our soulish realms. And how do you do that? Well, first of all, you need to stay in the Word. You need to stay in prayer. You have to develop a prayer life and a word life, a study life. I just can't press upon you as a prophet, as prophetic people, how important it is to be connected to God, how to have that relationship with Him. Because in the times in which we're in, it is imperative that you know if the prophet that's bringing the word, the prophet that says, I have a vision, is that vision really coming from God, or is it something that they're conjuring up from familiar spirits because they have dilly-dallied? They have stepped over. Sometimes they're in the light, sometimes they're in darkness. So it is vital that as prophetic people, we stay connected to God. We yield our flesh. We yield our emotions so that the spirit man can be utilized by the Lord. The Bible says that our flesh and our spirit war daily. And if you want to know who is in charge, if you really want to see clearly what God is showing you, then kill that flesh so that the spirit, your spirit man, will be in full control. As I said earlier, that you can have prophets that I use the term a prophet gone bad. In other words, they still fear God to a point. They know who God is. They've seen his power, but they don't want to do things that are necessary to stay connected, such as killing the flesh, such as staying in prayer, such as living a life that's holy and righteous. Because the Bible says that sin will separate us from God. And so if you're separated from God, that means you're not hearing from Him, and He's turned a deaf ear to you. And you really don't want that. You don't want Him to take His spirit away from you, and you don't want His presence to leave you. So you have some prophets that rely on the gifts, because gifts come without repentance. They rely on soothsayers and medium and familiar spirits and omens. And if you don't think what I'm saying is true, let's look at these things in the Word. Go with me to Numbers 22. Numbers, the 22nd chapter, starting at verse number 1. Here we see Balak. He's the king, and he's a little threatened by the Israelites. He says that they're great in number, and he's heard of all the things that the Lord has done for them, how the Lord has fought their battles. All they do is they stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, the Israelites, that is. And so now the king is really, really afraid that they're going to come and take over his territory. So he sends his servants, his messengers, his elders, to the prophet in that area who happens to be Balaam. And not only do they send the messengers, they don't send the messengers, he doesn't send the messengers empty-handed, he sends them with briberies in verse number 5. Numbers 22 and 5 reads, he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Now the king realized that the prophet had the authority from God to bless and to curse. As prophetic people, God has given us the authority to speak things into existence, to turn things around that's not of him, that's hovering in the atmosphere. You know, their prayers are sometimes held up by territorial spirits, territorial demons, that their job is to block prayers going up, block manifestations coming in. And if you're able to see into the spirit realm, and what do I mean by you're able? You're connected to God. You've got a relationship. You've allowed him to open your spiritual eyes so that you can see. You have yielded your spirit so that you can hear what he's saying unto you, so that you can pray effectively and not just praying words just because it sounds good. But you're praying strategically to bring things down that's hovering over us as God's people. Amen. So they realize the power, the authority that God has given unto the prophet. And he says, the king says, I know if you curse them, they'll be cursed. If you bless them, they'll be blessed. So I want you to curse them for me. And he said in verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hands, and they came unto Balaam and spoke unto him the words of King Balak. Now look at this. He sent the elders with bribery. Because if he was truly a true prophet of God, guess what? He didn't have to bribe that prophet. If you remember, in the book of Samuel, when Saul, before he became king, was trying to find the animal that was lost, and he and his servant went to the prophet, the seer Samuel, and he said, before we can go, we've got to have something to give. And what they gave was silver. Here, they're given bribery. And if we read further on into the chapter, and I'm just going to paraphrase for the sake of time, we find out that Balaam, his desire, he wanted to go, even though he knew God had told him not to go. And so if we read further on, we find out that the prophet yielded to his flesh, he yielded to the lust, he yielded to his own desire. And so he got on his donkey and he was riding out. Now, if we read further on, we see that God opened the eyes of the donkey, and the donkey was able to see the angel of death with the sword in his hand, and he just kept trying to get out the donkey's way. And finally, the Lord opened the prophet's eye, and he was able to see. In verse 28, the Lord not only opened the donkey's eye, but the Lord opened the donkey's mouth as well. And the donkey told the prophet what was going on. In verse 31, it says, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. So the Lord was so angry that at the prophet, because of his desire, that he was just going to take his life and spare the donkey. Just a side note, that God in these latter days so that he would pour out his spirit among all flesh. And you can find that in Joel, the second chapter, the 28th verse. In the latter days, God is going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. So that's why it's so imperative that we know what God is saying unto us. Because in times past, visions and dreams came to prophets. Then in the latter days, because He's pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, Joel 2 and 28, it says that you have many people dream, and it says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old man shall dream dreams, young man shall see visions. So now, visions and dreams are not just only for prophets, but as God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, He's allowing everybody that He decides to have that ability to dream and to see visions. Next week, we will talk about dreams, and there's more into this teaching on visions. This is just a brief overview. I probably will do a little bit more talking about the different facets of visions before we get into dreams. I pray this brief teaching has enlighten you into pressing more into God, to know the things of Him, to die to the flesh so that God can get the glory out of this temple. Remember that this body belongs to Him, and He so desires to use you. Can you make yourself available to Him? Can you die to your flesh? Can you die to your desires? Can you die to your will and allow God's will to reign in your life? We always pray this prayer, God, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, God wants to do that through you. I challenge you to allow your flesh to die daily. Stay in the Word. Read more. If you're reading a chapter a day, try a chapter and a half a day. If you're only praying in the morning, I challenge you to pray in the afternoon and at night. If you're only laying before the Lord on the weekends, I challenge you to lay before the Lord another day during the week. Desire more of Him because He desires to give more to you. Father, we thank You for Your word on this day, Lord God. Father God, we thank You for Your people, Lord God. We thank You, Father, for their desire, God, to know more of You, Lord God, to learn more about Your hidden nuggets, God, the treasures that You have in heaven that You want to release on earth. God, I pray, God, that as we press into You, Lord God, that, Lord, You will just reveal unto us, Lord God, what You would have us to know. God, give us the word in which to pray and whom to pray for, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. If you desire prayer, I can be reached at area code 843-830-9325. That's area code 843-830-9325. Or you can email me at Simmons at hotmail.com. God bless you. And if you're in the Charleston area, join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. for worship service at 248 President Street. Bible study every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Intercessory prayer Friday at... God bless, and have a joyous time in the Lord. Shalom.